ASO listening.
4PFI, you got a copy on me? I just changed radios, don't know if it works or not.
I'd copy on you. I believe you said KP4. I didn't catch your call sign. You kind of took me by surprise. But yeah, you sound decent. I'm over here in Duncan.
Okay, well, the call sign is Kilo Golf 4 Papa Foxtrot India, KG4PFI. My name is Don, and I'm down here in Piedmont. I had my radio that I normally talk on. It kind of went on the fritz with me. And I had an old spare one down there in the shop, which is a little old, small 2100H ICOM. Brought it up here, stuck it in here, and just to see if it would work.
A job for you. I got a little static, but I think it's me because I'm moving. I have noticed that when I'm sitting still in this truck, the radio's got a lot better clarity than when I'm moving. There's something electrically interfering. But yeah, you sound decent to me.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. This thing is, I don't know how long it's been sitting down there in my shop, but it's been down there a long time. And a fella gave it to me some years back, and I never have really used it. It's a used radio. The other one that I had was a 2800, I think's the number on it, ICOM. And for some reason, it'd be talking right along, and all of a sudden, it just shut down. And then turn it off and turn it back on, and it would come right back up. So it just got aggravating.
What about those radios? Seems like a lot of them have screen problems where you can't read the dial on them or not working like that.
That's all I've ever owned is ICOMs, but this is the first one I've ever run into where it just, all of a sudden, it just stopped receiving.
Until they're not, you know what I mean? It's like anything with technology, it's crazy how fast things are advancing and how much they change. And, you know, what was great 10 years ago was antiquated now. But I kind of like the old school stuff better myself. But, you know, it's probably hard to find somebody that can fix this stuff anymore.
Same way with automobiles. I remember working on old 55 Chevrolets. And you could raise the hood up and climb in there with the motor. Now, the car that I got now, you raise the hood up, and I don't even know what half that stuff is in there.
Get that, man. I'm a mechanic by trade, but I'm also in the old school car, so I like my dad's 80 and I'm 40, and I grew up a lot of his old school hot rod stuff and learned a lot of things about that, and then made a career out of working on newer stuff, which I would much rather work on the older stuff for sure.
The same, I worked on the old, well, I had a 57 Chevrolet and I really liked it. I had it for about 9 or 10 years. I bought that thing when I was in the Air Force, stationed out in Texas, and drove it home, and it lasted until I got crazy and decided I wanted to sell it, and I sold it and bought another car, and I kind of wish I hadn't sold it.
Got a couple of 67s, but my wife's dead set on a 57 Bel Air convertible. Well, I don't think she wants a convertible, but I'd like to have a convertible, but I love a 57 Bel Air. It's one of the prettiest cars ever built.
That? Well, I'm a little older than you. In fact, I'm twice as old as you. You said you was 40, or right at 40?
40 last Sunday.
November, I turned 84.
Similar to my dad, he just turned 81, so yep, I can understand some of your likings of the old stuff, because being around him and all and hearing the stories, and you guys grew up in, I look back from what I've heard from him, I'd call it better time.
Gasoline was 29 cents a gallon, and I bought gas in Abilene, Texas in a filling station at 12 cents a gallon back then. That was in 1961, 62. When I was stationed out there in the Air Force, I've always tinkered on stuff, too. You said you was a mechanic by trade. I was a jet engine mechanic in the Air Force, and then when I came out, I went to work for a plant over here at Donaldson Center. I was a maintenance supervisor. I've always liked to tinker on stuff, worked on lawnmowers, and I do a little electrical work, too, or did, and some plumbing and a little bit of everything. And but those days are kind of winding down there.
That ended up here. He was his dad was a colonel. Well, he wasn't a colonel then. He went on to be a colonel. He was a navigator over Japan in World War II and ended up, how that was over, he ended up out here at Donaldson, and I think Dad said somewhere around 60, 61, whenever he was 18, they had to move again to go to another base, and he just stayed here, and the rest of the family went on. So, but yeah, you may have met my grandfather there at some point.
You said Donaldson. I came home on leave when I was stationed in Texas, and me and my wife went out to Donaldson to go to the PX out there and buy some stuff for my mom and dad, and we were staying with them and had to buy some groceries and stuff. And on the way back out, they stopped me and at the gate and they saw the sticker on my windshield, and they knew it wasn't from that base out there. And it was from Dice Air Force Base in Abilene, Texas. And they wanted to know what I was doing here, and I said, well, I'm on leave. And they said, have you got your leave papers? And I didn't have them with me. They was at home with my mom and dad, so my wife had to drive all the way home, pick them up, come back, and show it to them, so they knew I wasn't AWOL.
That's everything now. It's probably digitized. You don't actually have to have the paperwork in hand.
Everything is push button, or like what is that thing on, I can't remember, but you can ask it a question and it'll come back and tell you.
Alexa, I bought my dad one of them probably 3 or 4 years ago, and he uses that thing for an alarm clock. The next day he wants to get up, and you can talk to it and tell it you want to hear a certain song, and it'll play some music, but there's some things it wants you to pay for, so. But a lot of the older stuff he listens to, it'll play a lot of that for him.
What I was trying to think of, I couldn't remember. A lot of stuff I don't remember anymore. So you're driving, where you at now?
I cross 85 on 290 in Duncan. I am trying to find a gas station. I never run my truck until the low fuel light comes on, but it is on right now, so I didn't have time to do it this morning. So I'm going to have to find some fuel here shortly.
You're going to be stretching your legs.
For all this, we got to find some petrol.
Well, let me keep you tied up. I appreciate you taking time to tell me my radio was working. And now I'm trying to figure out where I left the, there's a thing that you put underneath it that keeps it up off the, being flat down. I can't wait. It's just a holder, I guess. Somewhere down there in my shop is one. I just can't remember where it's at. All righty. Well, I enjoyed talking with you. I've got to go clean this mess up from where I was cutting, skinning back wires and doing all that, hooking this thing up. So I appreciate it, and I hope the rest of your day goes well. 73's KG4 PFI clear.
I'm the QSO, and I've enjoyed it, and hopefully I'll hear you in here again soon. And I will say 73 to you as well from KQ4 ASO, and I hope you have a blessed evening.
KO4 PXB Mobile.
Mobile, this is KQ4 ASO Mobile.
It's KO4 PXB.
Location KO4 PXB.
On Lawrence Road at the intersection of East Parkins Mill.
Trip to the repeater as well. You got, sounds like almost full quiet and over here.
As are you, it's definitely very quiet.
On a new rig, or a new to me, I put a FTM 3100 in my truck, and I finally gave in and drilled a hole in the roof and put an NMO mount with a, I'll be doing a pretty good job.
It's doing an awesome job.
To the side here, I'm fixing to find me some fuel before I have to walk.
Yep, I did that a couple days ago because I'm truly not strong enough to push a truck.
downhill or on the flat, I'd be okay, but I can't push this thing uphill. It's probably a little heavy. I don't know. It's probably 5,000 pounds, an older extended cab.
Yeah, I'm driving a 2009 Silverado with the four-door part of it.
Okay, I'm in a 99 extended cab, so yours, I think your body style is a full frame, and these have got a C-shaped frame in them, so yours is definitely a good bit heavier than this rascal here.
Yep, it definitely comes in handy, because I tow a 34-foot camper, because it has the towing package on it, and it doesn't really have any issue towing it. Of course, it's still heavy. I don't push the engine on towing that much. I have not, you know, tested on the Saluda grade or anything like that. Somehow I don't choose to do so.
I pull a 26-foot car trailer with a 3,000-pound car in it and some tools and a small generator and stuff, and back and forth from my house to the local drag strip and all fine, but I wouldn't take it up 85. I don't think it's got the balls to pull it.
If you truly want zero gas mileage, just turn on the hauling mode on it. You just watch your gas mileage go down to like zero.
It's 16 without a trailer now, and I hadn't checked in a while, and I changed the gear in it a couple of years ago just to help pull on the trailer, which it did. It helped tremendously, but I hadn't checked the mileage since then. I'm sure it probably hurt me a little bit.
Yeah, that's the same mileage I get out of this one, about 16 and a half. I'm not sure if your truck has that module or device that actually takes it from the 8-cylinder to a 4-cylinder, but the Chevrolet dealership mechanic actually told me to get a little module to actually put in there that keeps it in the 8-cylinder mode, because especially towing, so that really does a lot of damage on the engine when it's trying to tow something, and it disables four of those cylinders because it reduces the oil pressure on them.
That it don't have that, so that's a good thing. Hey, I'm going to get off to the side. I'm going to fill this fella up with some fuel, and it was good chatting with you. I hope you have a good evening, my friend. 73 from KQ4ASO.
All right, sir. Have a great day. My name is Lloyd, KO4PXB.